If you focus on your relationship first, you can still make a lot of money. It doesn't stop you from making a lot of money. But if you focus and prioritize your money, your business, you're going to lose your relationship because all your focus energy is over there. And so you can have it all. You just got to shift the priorities and the mindset on relationship first, still leaves you a lot of time to make a lot of money. And I think we overestimate how much time it really takes to build a healthy marriage, healthy family, and also a healthy business, which means we kind of gravitate towards the business side because we said we need to put more in because I don't think I have enough bandwidth to build a healthy relationship regardless, right? They just think it takes like, you gotta be there, you gotta be home all day 24/7 or something like that.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another awesome, awesome episode of the Life and Air Show podcast. I'm your host, Jason Wojo. On the Life and Air Show, we help people make more, work less, and live better lives. I am joined by my illustrious co-host, Polish Peter.
Meaning your work husband?
Work wife is more like it, but that's cool.
Well, I said it first, so yeah, don't try to change things now. Yeah. But listen, right. The reason why I bring this up, because we're going to be talking about to a couple today that are talking about how do you work together as a husband and wife in a business, or if you're an entrepreneur, how you actually have this relationship with a married couple or someone who's got a significant other, right?
This is a great episode. Great topic. So this is something like there's so many couples, and we talked a lot about, you know, couples that are in business together, but there's a lot of discussion as well, even if you are not in business as a couple. You know, how do you navigate those challenges of entrepreneurship? How do you have discussions? How do you set boundaries? How do you communicate and not let business take over the relationship? And so we have Robert and Kaylee Fukui on the line who this is their passion, is helping couples, you know, uncover the challenges and conquer the challenges in the field of relationships as they pertain to couples. And so it's an awesome discussion, man.
Yeah, and if you really listen to them, I mean, they came completely from two different backgrounds, you know, and even from two different, you know, he's Japanese, right? Second generation Japanese, and she was born here. So it is such a very different ways of looking at things in life and business and entrepreneurship and how you actually get resolved. I asked them towards the end of the question, specific example, like how you resolve a, you know, belief that couples have, like two opposing beliefs. And they had a great answer. So I just encourage you guys to listen to this episode because
really good
it is
stuff.
So helpful for so many people.
Let's jump in right now. Here's our interview with Robert and Kaylee. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Life and Air Show.
Hey, Jason and Polish Peter, thanks for having us on.
Yes, this is going to be so much fun.
Oh yeah, so just for the audience listening, like we already have been riffing back and forth. This is going to be a ton of fun and you're going to learn a lot, which is more important. And we have two experts, and I don't know if you guys can like that term experts or not, but this is the area that you've chosen to focus on because it is so, so, so important. And that is couples that are involved in entrepreneurship. Like when one or both of them are in entrepreneurship, how do you navigate that very tricky situation, and how do you make sure that the business doesn't consume every single part of their personal life or the relationship? And so we're going to talk about some of the pitfalls, and so I'm excited for this conversation. How did you guys actually decide to get into this topic, by the way?
We got married.
No, because I was working a corporate job when we got married. Having a business was never on my radar. My dad was a pastor, and his advice to me was just, you know, go to school, get a job, stay out of debt. So yeah. I accomplished the first two. Okay, I got out of college and I was in debt. So, so having a business was never on my radar. But Kaylee grew up in an entrepreneurial household, and she was the one actually when we were dating, said, "I can see you having a business."
And he thought I was crazy. He's like, "There's no way." I'm like, "Really?" Because in my world, I'm third generation entrepreneur. I knew so many that I just figured that's what everybody did.
And I don't like to take risk, a whole lot of risk. And I just seem way too risky.
Right. And here we are. Now you're in business.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is, by the way, this is one of the lessons we were talking, fellas, listen to your wives. Right?
Just follow what the wife says. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so, absolutely. Good.
And so tell me, like, why is this topic so important to you? And like, tell me some of the things that you typically see people struggle with.
Well, it's kind of observational. When I, about, you know, after we did get married and I was in my mid 40s. I was wondering, like, what do I want to do for the rest of my life? You know, kind of midlife crisis, I guess. And was it going to be continuing up the corporate path, you know, climbing the corporate ladder kind of thing? Or was it to do something different and potentially have a business? So I started exploring the idea of having a business. And, you know, I printed out all the different industries and all that. And I just went down the list and checked off. Nope. And so that didn't get me anywhere. So I decided, well, why don't, you know, my background's in marketing and sales. So I said, why don't I just do some marketing consulting on the side, and maybe I'll find a business that I really want to start. And so really enjoyed, you know, helping these small family businesses really prosper and grow, and really loved the fact that it wasn't just, you know, the numbers issue, the sales issue, but it was really the impact it had on their life and their team and all that. You know, when you're working with a family business or a privately held business, you really get to know people. And it means when the business success means a lot more than just the bottom line. Like, you know, coming from a Fortune 500 background, you're just trying to keep the shareholders happy. And one quarter after another, you go, okay, what's next, right? Okay, what have you done for me lately kind of thing. And you're constantly chasing your tail, trying to keep everybody happy. But the impact it makes on people's lives and the family business, really, I really enjoyed that. And so I decided, hey, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do marketing consulting, focus on, you know, privately held family business. And I remember some of my colleagues saying, well, why don't you, you know, go to the corporate, you know, help these corporations, Fortune 500, just like you're doing now. And I said, nah, it just doesn't excite me. I'm tired of it. I really liked the impact I was making on these family business. So what happened was, as you know, they started to hire me for marketing help, I look at it more of a chief marketing officer kind of thing. I look holistically at the business. I want to see what we're going to do marketing wise, how it's going to impact the business, and how the impact was going to the business itself is going to impact my marketing efforts. And I started to realize, I said, you know, you guys are working way too hard. That's the first thing I noticed with all these businesses. I said, you're just working way too hard. There's too many gaps going on internally that's costing you money. So it's not really, you don't really have much of a sales issue as you have a profitability margin issue and product productivity and efficiency issue. And then what happened was, then we start sharing their personal life as you get to know them, and they start talking about their married life and their family life. Like, they weren't having one. Basically, they were working so hard in the business that it was affecting home. And then it was one client after another sharing similar experiences. And then talking to Kaylee, she's like, oh yeah, that's what happened growing up in her household.
The business became the mistress. My dad was working 6 days a week. I don't think to this day he made it to my high school graduation. It just took over all of our lives, and it was so consuming. And my mom ended up raising four strong-willed children. God bless her. I don't know how she did. Yeah, my dad was working. And sometimes I think he would rather go to work than be home dealing with four kids.
Yeah, right.
So that's when I started to say, hey, you have more than marketing here going on. Let's fix this business and build it for what you wanted to begin with, was to have more freedom. But you have more, you're more tied to the business than I was working in a Fortune 500 company. I said, I had more freedom there than you guys have here, working your own business, setting your own hours, you know, quote unquote, and having the freedom. So let's build this the way you wanted to, and then let's get your life back. And in the meantime, even as we're fixing this business, I'm gonna still help you prioritize your faith and your family. So you can, no matter what happens in the business, you're always going to have your relationship, which at the end of the day, that's the most important thing, right? Money is not going to fix the relationship. They think that once the business gets to a certain level, then everybody will be happy. I said, that's not how it works. Relationship takes effort and it takes intentionality. No matter how good or bad the business does, if you don't focus and prioritize your spouse, your family, it ain't going to happen. And so that's kind of how I just looked at Kaylee and said, hey, I think there's an elephant in the room here that nobody's dealing with. At the time, this is about 7 years ago, I didn't see any consultant or coaches really dealing with this stuff. And so I said, and then, you know, had both the business acumen plus just the 2 years of counseling when we were dating. We went to 2 years of relationship counseling before we even got married. And so we just started really sharing the things that have worked for us, that our counselor helped us, and the tools that she gave us, just kind of pass on to them. And then let's help build this business. And that's kind of how it started.
So, man, I love that. What a story. So two questions. One is, do you see this predominantly affect men versus women? And then the second question is, what do you think it is about business and entrepreneurship in particular that is just so you know, it's, I don't know how to say this, but like business to me feels like you have this seductive pursuit of, you know, success, and then you have the fear of failure behind you. And so you're kind of caught in this, like in the middle there. How do you get past that to really focus on, you know, what is most important? Because like, listen, at the end of the day, all of us went into business to have a better life. You know, no one goes into business to have a worse life. And so how do you get past that?
Now, how do you actually end up in there? I mean,
I think it's kind of how Jason set it up, and which is that tension, that fear of failure. And so because of that, you're going to put, you know, everything falls on your shoulder as the business owner, right? And you feel that pressure, which totally understandable. So what you're going to do is spend every waking moment, every moment that you have on the business, because you don't want it to fail. You feel you need, you're the one that has to prop it up. And that's actually backwards thinking. Because if that's true, if you're the one that has to prop the business up, then you're the limiting factor in the growth of the business, because you're controlling too much. So the mindset is less control. You know, I see on your website, you know, work less, make more. I said, yeah, the less, like one of our clients that like I love, I use this quote all the time. When he finally shifted and said, okay, team, you got to do the work, because he was on the verge of breakdown.
And he had a great team.
Yeah, and he always bragged about his team, but he didn't realize how much micromanaging he was doing.
We know none of us micromanage, you know, in small business. Yeah.
No, come on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And so he was on the verge of breakdown one morning. He walked in the office, told his wife, told his team, and said, you guys got to handle it. I can't do it anymore. And he had to step away, not completely step away, but really had to pull back. For about 3 weeks, about two months later, we're on our coaching call, and he says, gosh, the less I do, the more things get done.
Huh. How crazy.
Interesting.
Is that?
Interesting.
And the guys were so happy.
And I said, bingo, all right, we got it. We're there.
Because he turned some of that control over to them, and they were so happy they could take things and run with it and make it their own.
I love that. So is this a business problem, or is it a relationship problem, or is it a prioritization problem? Like, where, how would you classify this? Like, is it a know-how issue? Is it a,
it's a little combination, complex. But I think it starts with your mindset, right? Okay. Again, okay. Spot, that mindset that I've got to prop it up. Mm-hmm. You know, we grow up in the culture that we're glorified for our achievements, not for the health of our relationships. Mm. It's achieve. And then you're a great guy, you're a great woman, you're a great business leader, all that, right? You get the accolades based on achievements. And so that's kind of how we grew up, and, you know, growing up in sports, you know, awards, all that stuff, right? So our whole life from childhood to adulthood, we're recognized for our achievements. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how we're wired. And so that's why we had the mindset of achievement first instead of relationship first. We think our achievements will then help our relationship. And I always say that, you know, if you focus on your relationship first, you can still make a lot of money. It doesn't stop you from making a lot of money. But if you focus and prioritize your money, your business, you're going to lose your relationship, because all your focus and energy is over there. And so you can have it all. You just got to shift the priorities and the mindset on relationship first. Still leaves you a lot of time to make a lot of money. And I think we overestimate how much time it really takes to build a healthy marriage, healthy family, and also a healthy business. We overestimate how much time it takes on both of those ends. So, which means we kind of gravitate towards the business side, because we said we need to put more in, because I don't think I have enough bandwidth to build a healthy relationship regardless, right? They just think it takes, like, you got to be there, you got to be home all day, 24/7 or something like that.
Yeah, I loved what you, yeah, go ahead.
And that'll look different for each couple. You know what I mean? Like, there's a great book out there, The Love Five Love Languages. Find out what that is. Sometimes it's not as much time. You think in your mind, oh my gosh, my family needs time. That means I got to spend 8 hours with them a day or something like that. Some big, huge number, which a lot of times that's not true. If you are able to schedule something in like we do, find out what's important to your spouse and your family, and do those little things that really adds up.
And one thing that doesn't take a lot of time that's going to benefit your faith and your relationship, your family, your marriage, is just pray daily every day. Like, the statistic is for Christian couples, only 8% of Christian couples pray daily together. We're talking away from mealtime, just intentional prayer, daily encouraging, blessing each other. right? And it doesn't take a ton of time. It takes, you know, on average, it's 50 minutes a morning for us. We do it first thing in the morning after my quiet time and my reading time, the Bible reading, and then we pray together as a family. Well, we don't have kids, but we have our dog because she likes to hop on our lap when it's prayer time for some reason. She loves prayer time. But that's the anyways, she yeah. does. She goes, she feels blessed, right? And so you look at that, you go, and then Family Institute did a research on this and showed that the divorce rate for couples to pray daily together is 1 in over 1,100. So that means it's a fraction of 1%.
Wow.
And think about it. And psychology research shows something similar, is that daily encouragement to your spouse basically shrinks the divorce rate. Because if you think about life, as we get older in our marriage, the more years in our marriage, the words that come out of our mouth are different from when we're dating. In our dating years, our dating time, it was, oh, we're just gushing each other with praise, right? But then as we get married, it's more about to-dos.
Yeah, what happened?
And what to do. And what to do, what not to do, what you didn't do, right? All that kind of stuff. And we lose those encouragement opportunities. And so the prayer daily together allows us the opportunity, number one, to put God in the center of their marriage, and then also to encourage each other daily. And it totally changes the day. It sets a tone for the day. And you'll realize, see, those arguments don't become as intense anymore because we're regularly getting filled from our spouse.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to be upset with your spouse when you're praying together. Yeah. And then we also hear people say, oh, we don't have time. I'm like, you don't have 15 minutes? You can't find 15 minutes in a day for your marriage, yeah. for your family?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I love what you guys are sharing, because one of the things that I'm hearing from you guys is, faith, God first, then the marriage. And what you guys, those little things that you guys shared, like praying together, right? Encouraging each other and things like that. How would that impact my business? What difference does that make for my business?
Man, when your spouse is behind you, when you know your spouse is all for you, like, you can do anything. Right. The reason why you can be so successful, why just statistically married couples are more successful than single people, is just that encouragement, that team, that someone that's there behind you. And when you take that, your relationship to a whole nother level, where your spouse is like, man, you could do anything, because I'm already getting filled. When Kaylee encourages me and tells me I can do anything, like, let's face it, men, we're more fragile then we let on, like, for the wives that are listening, right? We're more fragile than we realize, but we just puff up our chest more, right? And we can do this. But the reality is, and I didn't realize it, I didn't realize how fragile I was until Kaylee was really encouraging me. I was like, wow, I guess I needed that. And then you're like, I can do anything. You know, I realize I can do anything because she's behind me. And I don't have the fear of, if I fail, she's going to leave me or she's going to be pissed off at me. She says, win or lose, I'm behind you. We're doing this thing, right? And that is because I'm encouraging her too, right? In the prayer time, not just prayer time, but just during the day or during the week, just encouraging. But, you know, when you're, as husband and wife, when you're just always bickering, you don't feel as energized. And then what happens is a lot of business owners, they spend more time in the business just because they don't want to go home. And they're not more productive. They're just trying to get away. And they're really not more productive. Their mindset, their heart is just not into it.
Well, and it keeps you stuck as well in your business and in your personal life, your relationship with your family. Because if one's wanting to go forward and one's not, you're kind of at a standstill. And you're like, we're not going anywhere. You've heard people talk about conversations. Oh, yeah, you know, we haven't been able to agree or decide, make this decision for 15 years. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you guys are not going anywhere. As opposed, if you get on the same page, you might have a disagreement. Yes, but you can get it resolved or come up with a better solution and move forward.
I love that. Yeah, I think that's a really good, encouraging word that you guys are sharing with us here, as people are. And so I want to ask this question, because if the couple is working together in a business, right? Like, they're both in the business. I think you guys are both in the business, correct?
Yeah.
And when I heard you from before, like, you, Robert, your belief system based on how you were growing up, you know, you go and get a job and all that kind of stuff and be, you know, safe in that environment. You, Kaylee, you're like entrepreneurs, right? Dad was almost never home. He was working hard. It's like this belief of work hard till the cows come home kind of a thing, right? And now you guys are working together in a business. So when you have those kind of conflicting beliefs, whether it's about, you know, how you grow a business or whether it's about money, right? Or how we use the money in a business or whatever, and you have two conflicting things, how you resolve that in a business as a couple, the married couple?
Well, I think what really has helped me is we have weekly meetings. So Monday at 3:30, we get together and we talk about our finances. We talk about our relationship. Is there any thing we need to get resolved? Am I upset about something? We give each other an encouraging word. Do we have any customers coming down the pipeline? We know we talk about all these important things. So that kind of relieves some of my anxiety, like you were talking about finances, like, oh my gosh, where are we at financially? And I'm all stressed because I have no idea. And then he'll tell me, this is where we're at. And then it seems like it calms me and I feel better knowing he's going to be traveling for the next 2 weeks. But after that, we're going to get a date night in or something. So that seems to help me a lot.
Yeah. And a lot of the stuff you're asking, Peter, is really about the more transparency and open communication we have, the less these issues come up. Because, you know, let's say that, you know, a spouse is really upset because you're always working, right? And so we never have these sit downs. They never have these sit downs and say, here, how do we address this issue? Like, yes, I know we have a busy season coming up, but in the midst of it, can we, you know, push in a date night, or at the end of the next 2 weeks or next month, can we get away or something like that, or go for dinner or something like that? And those setting up expectations is so important. But a lot of times we're just living life and we're just responding to things. And then you might have an idea of what's going on in your head, but if you don't communicate to your spouse, they're lost. And then they get upset because they don't know what's going on. They don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so a lot of the conflict that happens in marriage is just due to lack of just good communication. And, you know, sometimes like a spouse will want to talk about something, but because it's not the right time, because you're in the middle of something, you say, oh, we'll talk about it later. And these things get kicked down, the can just gets kicked down the street. And so there's so many things that just don't get addressed because we're just responding and we're just living life. But as she was sharing, our weekly meetings is that kind of that solid foundation that, I mean, we talk during a week, but those weekly meetings are those things that aren't urgent that we need to talk about at the moment, but we need to talk about. And so they're usually bigger topics, right? Whether it's finances, investments, vacations, work schedules, trips, that kind of thing. But it helps us sync, get on the same page and stay on the same page and know what to expect. And if we are hitting through a busy stretch, we both know this is.
Hey, we'll get right back to the episode. Before we do, I want to tell you about an upcoming Get a Life Getaway that we have in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, October 1st through 3rd. Mark your calendars right now because this is an event you're going to want to be at. This is where Peter and I will personally walk you through the process of creating the proven process of creating a life and a vision for the perfect life that you've always wanted. We've had over 10,000 people go through this event. We've been doing it for almost about, 15 years now. We've learned a thing or two about how to do this. We've learned about best practices and what things actually work and make this a reality versus what's out there that's fluff and what's out there that's just pie in the sky approach. That is not this. This is strategy. This is tactics. We're going to walk you through every component to making this reality. We're going to show you how to fit all those pieces of the puzzle together so that you can have the dream life you've always wanted. Again, October 1st through 3rd, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There'll be a link in the show notes or go to lifenear.com right now. You'll see the list of upcoming events and you can register. Hope to see you there.
Coming, and then what do we do on the back end or even in the midst of a stretch? What can we do to make sure we're still good, you know, relationally, right? So those are that kind of stuff just really helps. And just good old facts and know how to resolve issues, resolve conflict. And that's a skill that neither of us had growing up. You know, ironically, my dad was a pastor, but obviously didn't teach conflict resolution in seminary because they didn't do it well. So, you know, you learn how to do conflict based on where you grew up. And so Kaylee grew up in a different environment. I grew up in a different environment. We come together. And a lot of the clashes that we have is mainly about different communication styles and how we handle conflict. It's not usually about the topic at hand. It's that we just deal with it differently and it rubs each other the wrong way. And so we have to develop a way to how do we do conflict? Like if we have an issue that's upsetting me, how do we bring this up that doesn't trigger the other person? Like for me, my trigger. If I get upset, she upsets me, I kind of go in the shell. And then she's chasing me, saying, we need to talk about it.
And that works really good.
I'm just retreating. Yeah, I'm just retreating further and further back in my corner until you're like that caged animal in the corner. And then you just lash out, right? Mm-hmm. So that's not healthy, right? I mean, yeah. We know that, right? Intellectually, we know that. But in the heat of the moment, we just do what we do. So we have to develop these, what we call rules of engagement, of when we have these disagreements, what's allowed in these discussions and what's not. And what's not are the things that trigger you, that we know can trigger your spouse to act defensively and act, you know, aggressively. And so that's just kind of a snapshot.
Man, that's so great. I'm hearing, you know, frequent communication, open communication, setting, you know, really being clear with expectations, the conflict, like, and understanding the differences in your styles of dealing with that and with the triggers.
Yeah,
super valuable. I have a question regarding, you know, especially with couples that are in business together. You guys have a weekly meeting, but how do couples, and this is a problem I see many times, I'm sure you do as well, is where, you know, a couple in business together, all of a sudden their relationship morphs more into business partners, because now every dinner or every date night or every moment they have by themselves, not around their kids or whatever, it's like, hey, did you get back to that client? Did you send out that invoice? Did you? And it becomes like this ever-present focus in the relationship where they're now unable to just, you know, separate themselves from the business, and it kind of seeps into every crevice and crack of the relationship. How do you deal with that? And how does somebody like get past that?
Well, boundaries. So that's one of the first things we, you know, help our clients through. And actually, we had to do the same thing because we fell in the same trap. You know, you just start talking about business and it's natural, right? Mm-hmm. And so we had to establish boundaries of, you know, after 6 p.m., you know, once dinner's ready, you know, I close everything down, you know, no phones at the dinner table. We don't talk about business. Right, until the next business day. And if something comes up, I said, okay, let's talk about it tomorrow or Monday morning, you know, whatever. And but hold to it. And so one of the things that gets challenging with some couples is because we'll blurt out and start talking about business because we don't have a regular check-in about just talking about business, even during the business hours. We just go. Right? It's ready, set, go. Everybody scatters and does their thing. So we don't have regular check-ins. And because of that, we just start blurting stuff out. Right. And even at dinner time or on weekends. And so the boundaries also comes with, you know, talking about expectations. I said, okay, let's talk about this first thing Monday morning, or can this wait for our weekly meeting? You know, when should we talk about it? But just not during personal time, because at the end of the day, most of these things that come up at a dinner table for business, we can't actually fix at the dinner table. We're just talking about it. Yeah. Right. It doesn't get fixed there. It gets fixed during business hours. And so let's just wait first thing in the morning. All right, let's try. If I have to wake up a little earlier to talk about it because I have a meeting early or something like that, we just do that. But we make sure that, okay, this is important. Let's talk about it. And this is when we do it. And so the boundaries, and then setting expectations and holding each other accountable, because there's times at the dinner table that she'll bring up work and I'll just look at her like, really? Or vice versa. It happens both ways. And so we have to hold each other accountable to that too. And we've agreed to it, right? We've agreed to these boundaries, and we've set up a process and how to deal with these things, so we don't have to talk about it during personal time.
And I have to be really intentional about it if we're on vacation, because it's so easy for my mind to just keep thinking about work. So I have to tell Robert, okay, honey, you know, I'm not going to talk about work. So I'm not going to be checking emails. I'm not going to be, you know, doing all these different things. Yes. I take books with me because I'm like, I don't want to be on social media. Because sometimes I find myself, oh my gosh, I'm bored. What am I going to do? I'm like, oh, I got a book, or, you know, or there's a board game, like something else I can do with my time. Because I know once I'm on vacation, it's so hard for me to unwind if I'm still connected to work. And I want to be relaxed. I want to have fun. I don't want to be thinking. I love work, but I don't necessarily want to be thinking about it. And then I'll bring it up to him, and then there we go.
There we go. Right. Right. Now look what we've done.
Exactly.
And then it's hard to shut it off. So,
well, Kaylee, so listen, this is where this is a difficult question to ask. And so you've given some ways you deal with on vacation, and I love that. And that's useful. But in the day to day of life, and this is a difficult question. I'm curious how you guys deal with this. Maybe you have expectations and boundaries regarding, hey, we're not going to talk about it 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. then, sorry, 6 p.m. till 9 a.m. the next day or whatever that looks like. How do you guys quiet your mind to stop thinking, or does it ever stop? Like, how do you really, because this is a problem I see as well, is like even the couples that sometimes are able to disengage physically from business are still there mentally, and they're not fully present in the moment with their spouse, with their kids, with whatever it is they're doing. And I'm curious how you guys have dealt with this and how you've seen other people deal with it successfully, like to really turn it off. Like, is there a way to do that?
Well, I know my mind's kind of wired that way. It just likes to keep going. One of the things Robert told me to do, and this helps a lot, he's like, write it down. If there's like, oh, I need to call Joe tomorrow. Oh, I need to order oranges, whatever it is, write it down on a piece of paper. That way I don't have to think, oh, I need to remember. Oh, I need to remember. Oh, I need to remember. I already have it written down. So now I don't need to think about it anymore.
Yeah, or, yes. Or just stick it in your calendar, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what I'll do. I'll just stick it in my calendar for the next day. And then also we have these transition moments. And this is very helpful, and I've heard other couples do some similar. But you know, before we go to dinner, we take the dog for a walk, and that's, I shut down, we take the dog for a walk, come back, and we're at dinner. So that gives the time to, you know, chat a little bit when just walking the neighborhood and just kind of transition. And it's kind of a point of transition, and it's both physically and psychologically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, it'll make that shift. It helps you make that shift. I remember on our podcast, we interviewed Clyde Christensen, who was the quarterback coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I wanted him on because he coached Tom Brady. And so anyways, he was talking about, you know, I said, coach,
you just bring up Tom Brady.
The goat. Oh. I hit the goat. Yeah.
I think we need to finish this podcast right now.
I can't hear you, Robert. Sorry. Coach, whether you're a player or a coach, I mean, it's like 24/7, especially once the season starts, right? And so I said to coach, like, how do you turn it off? Because he's got young kids and all that stuff. And he says, when he's on his drive home, he stops about a block away from home, pulls over, turns the engine off, and that's his transition moment. And he quiets himself, he'll pray, and he quiets himself because he knows the minute he walks in the door, the kids want him. And he doesn't want to be that dad that goes, oh, you know, give me some time, whatever, right? So he just creates that transition moment before he gets home. And so transition moments seem to be a thing. And so that seems to help. And so it helps you start to, you know, really intentionally transition and kind of start to, you know, ready your mind to not just turn it off, but go to the next part of the day, right? It's not about turning off business. It's about, here's business was business, but now I gotta prioritize this next phase of my day, which is my family, my spouse, and that's important. And whatever you gotta do, whether it's meditate, prayer, you know, speak those words of affirmations about, hey, this is priority time, right? Or my marriage and my family is more important than my work. And so let's do that. Let's be present when I'm home, because this goes to the work-life balance issue, is that it's not about how much time you spend on each side. It's about the quality of time you spend on each side. So it's being more productive at work and at home. When you're home, be present, right? And we're all going to be at home at some point, but how can you be present for your spouse and your family instead of just be thinking about work, even when you're trying to play with your kids? You know, it's amazing how kids, no matter how young they are, they can pick up when you're not present.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they'll bust you.
One of our nephews, yeah.
They will bust you.
My sister thinks she's a great multitasker, which it's kind of funny she thinks that. But so my nephew was talking to her and she was multitasking, and he's like, Mom, I just want you to listen to me with your face. Because he wanted her to stop and pay attention.
She's on her phone.
Yeah, to what he's doing.
Yeah.
But I think find that relaxing thing for you, like us, you know, across the street where there's some beautiful homes, we're out in nature, it's beautiful, you're getting a little bit of exercise. So that kind of like is a smooth transition for us. So find out what's relaxing to you that you can do for, you know, at the end of your day, every day before you walk in to where the kids.
Yeah, I love that, guys.
Yeah, I love what you guys are sharing here, because I think it's so needed in this, you know, in our society, right? Because there is so much go, and there's this instant gratification that's going on, and there is all kinds of different things. One of the things I love you guys talking about is that mindset stuff, right? The beliefs. And I just gonna put you guys on a little bit on spot and see if you guys can help me answer this question, this specific question. Let's say one spouse says, you gotta work till the cows come home, kind of a thing. Working hard is, this is it, right? You gotta work hard. And the other spouse goes, no, you just need to work so many hours and then you need to like relax, or you need to put towards your family or whatever, because those belief systems come from that. Two conflicting things. Mm-hmm. How do you resolve that? Because that's my belief. You gotta work hard.
So the question has to be, what is the outcome you want?
Right.
You want me to work harder and longer, but what is you want? What is the result that you want? Is it X million dollars in revenue or profits or whatever? Is it you want to get this new house or make a new purchase? What is the result you want?
Because statistics show, just because you're putting it, we're not against hard work at all. So don't hear that. But statistics show, just because you put in more work does not mean you're going to be more productive and make more money.
Yeah, so if we get measured by results more than just hours, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, hours worked, is that a good result? No, it's like, what is the monetary result you want, or what is the lifestyle result you want? Let's figure that out. So that's where we could talk about vision. What is our vision for our life, long-term, short-term? And then, okay, now let's figure out how to achieve it in the best way possible, as opposed to just putting more time in, right? Like one of our clients, you know, like a lot of clients, they think sales is the answer when they're not doing well financially. And there was one they said, oh, we need more sales, because they're bleeding money. They're actually losing money. They lost $800,000 a year, the year before they hired us. And I looked at it, I said, no, you don't have a sales issue, because I look at, you know, I really audit their financial statements and figure out what's going on, you know, income wise, price wise, and the cost and all that. I said, you don't have a sales issue, you have a margin issue. You're working really hard, putting a lot of hours in, but you're not getting the right return on investment in your marketing dollars. And at the end of the day, you just don't have enough margin. You don't have a good net, you don't have good gross profit margin. So basically, long story short, we fixed that. We adjusted price, we became more efficient in our marketing efforts, didn't put in more time in, we just fixed the performance. And based on that, we went from bleeding 800 grand to actually getting into the black by 5%. But here's the funny thing about that, and this is how, as business owners, we're so wired to measure ourselves by the top line, not the bottom line, that when I'm at the end of the year, right, we're getting the final year-end financial reports, I'm sitting with the CFO, and he's like, yeah, we exceeded our profit goals, because we were just trying to break even that first year. That was our first, we thought we had done great, even just to break even after the year we had prior. But they squeezed in a 5% net profit. So I said, awesome. And he still had this like sullen look on his face. And I said, what's the problem? He's like, well, the team was a little disappointed because they missed their sales goals. And I'm like, so? So you actually made a profit for the first time in the life of your business. So
that's important.
I think profits are more important than sales, right? Because everybody got paid still, and you have a bottom line. So, measured by performance, outcomes, not so much about hours, not so much even about sales, but it's what's the outcome you want? Let's measure ourselves based on that.
I love it, man. And that also, you know, it kind of reminds me to what you said earlier in the interview, which is like, hey, if you're the one doing all the work, that's a problem. Like, you are the one, you need to have other things going on and other people doing these things for you. And so it might be a very short-sighted approach to trying to fix a problem that's going to create more issues. You guys are awesome. How do people find out more about you and what you're doing?
The easiest way is just go to our website, marriedentrepreneur.co, and you'll see from there, you can even get a free download on work-life balance. So right on the homepage, you can click on that and get a free download. And then from there, also, there's our book, Tandem, The Married Entrepreneur's Guide for Greater Work-Life Balance. And there's even a workbook, digital workbook, that's attached to that too. And then we have our podcast, Thriving in Tandem, as well. So, but you can get all that from the website, marriedentrepreneur.co.
Love it. Guys, thank you so much for spending your time with us. This has been really impactful, super valuable. I don't know if you saw here, I was taking notes as we were talking here because like you guys are dropping gold nuggets. So this is super valuable and I know our audience will love it. Thanks for your time, guys.
Thanks, thank Jason, you. Peter. Yeah, thanks for having us. It's fun.
Man, they are cool people, dude. And I love, they just had an answer for everything. I got so much from that episode. I was taking notes, man. You know, one thing that Kaylee said early on about her dad, like really struck me. She said the business became his mistress. I was like, oof, man, right? Like how business can just become something that is always there and takes you away from the things that are most important to you if you let it.
Yeah, and I also love how they explained why that might be, you know, why that happens in our society, why we go, because that was one of my first questions I was going to ask them too. And you kind of, you know, ask them is like, why do you think that happens so much? Because it happens so many different couples, you know what I mean? And not just many couples, even if it's just, let's say a man or a woman go and be on, start their own business and the spouse does 9 to 5 or whatever it might be, it still happens. So why is that so happens? And I think a lot of it has to do with expectations in the society and how we are viewed and the belief systems and things like that. So I love how they explained it. The other thing that jumped out at me is like, when they talked about a lot of the different reasons, like, you know, how do we work this out? They went back to the mindset. They went back to the mindset of how you communicate, how you have a clear communications. You don't keep it in here between the 2 ears, right? A lot of us entrepreneurs basically don't talk much, don't share different things with the significant other, with the spouses. Yeah. And then because we don't share things with them, they feel like maybe they're in the dark, and that's when a lot of the conflict happens. So clear communications, having those expectations. I love they talked about the weekly meetings. I think that's a great idea. And how to have actual time outside of the business, because you know from so many different couples that we have interactions with that sometimes that marriage becomes a business, you know what I mean? And that's all you talk about, just business, business, business.
Well, like I think, so it's interesting because like it does start with the mindset and recognizing what success really is for you, which gets back to our, you know, your personal vision, right? We talk about that in Life Inner all the time. And so what is really most important to you? And they did a good job of discussing like how your marriage can really influence the business, while, you know, most entrepreneurs and business owners think it's completely separate and it's, you know, there's a wall there, and there's not. Like it is, you know, having the support of your spouse, he talked about that, versus like if there's conflict at home, that's going to leak into the business. You know, I also love that he talked about like kind of the gentleman who he said, you know, he was coaching, and he said that, you know, hey, the less I do, the more it gets done. Like, I love that. Like, that's something we totally talk about, right? Mm-hmm. Not being the linchpin in your business. I love that they talked about, you know, really tactical, you know, strategies for making sure your spouse is in the loop. And also I love that they gave some deliberate attention to the topic of like, how do you argue or disagree, or how do you handle conflict with your spouse? And having those discussions when you're not angry, by the way, is the best time to have them, of course, right? Like, so having mutual ground rules for how we're going to discuss potentially sensitive subjects is super valuable. And that's not just in your relationship. It's most important in your relationship, but it's important everywhere. And so I love that they kind of gave that some consideration as well. And I just love seeing people aligned. And I think it can become that when you do it and use some of the things that they shared in this episode. You know, I also love the transition time. That's a great tip that he gave there. And whatever that looks like. And, and as he was speaking, I think for me, a big transition time for me and for you too is working out. Like, that kind of marks the beginning and the end of my day. Like, I'll do cardio in the morning before I start work, and then I'll lift weights in the afternoon. Like, so that's a great transition time for me. That's a great tip.
I never thought about it that way. Yeah, but you're right. It is.
Yeah, right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Just lots of gold here. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you got something out of it. And you have something else?
Oh, yeah. I want to mention one more thing because we didn't really discuss it on this call, but I think it is so important to actually bring this up is this. Notice like they are two different people, right? And maybe they're two opposing beliefs, or, you know, he comes from one walk of life where he had a pastor that she had, you know, entrepreneur dad and things like that. And I think a lot of times when we are in couples, And I have this in our, you know, the couples that I'm coaching myself, is when there are two opposing wrong, my way is the right way, your way is not the right way, right? Or it's kind of like this looking from the perspective like there is a tension. And I think that's the mindset shift in that, is that when you start looking from the perspective of, you know what, that person has a different view, and it's a really good thing because maybe it will help me something that I don't see, right? So all of a sudden you come together as one, because it's almost like this yin yang, and they come together to help grow something bigger and better, right? So when you have this opposing view to your spouse, consider looking from the perspective that, you know, similar to like we talk about in the business, like we have visionary, you have an integrator, right? So there is a two great things, but you have to be able to learn how to communicate between visionary and integrator to be able to grow that business. And I think that's, you know, a huge shift that needs to happen for people.
When you said that, man, the thing that struck me is, like, you know, I remember when Stephen Covey would have someone that had a different opinion than him, or confront him on something, he'd be like, oh, cool, you think differently than me. Like, cool, what can I learn here? And so when your spouse is looking at things differently, this could be an awesome opportunity to uncover a blind spot, or to learn something, or for both of you to grow. Like, there's actual value there if you allow yourself to do that instead of getting aggressive or defensive. And so you can really kind of like use that to compound and grow together, as well as provide benefit to the business. So it's super cool. Yeah. Awesome topic. Super important, because I think more and more I see couples in business together, or especially, you know, or one of them is an entrepreneur and the other one has a job. And so super valuable. If you guys enjoyed this episode and you got something out of it, share it. Like, let somebody else who has this challenge or might need some advice in this area hear this so that they can grow and benefit from it as well. And of course, we'd love a review, thumbs up, give us something, some sort of acknowledgement that we are headed in the right direction and serving you the way you want to be served. As always, thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week, everyone. Take care. Yeah.